Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine, I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow pow pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
It's the Monday morning episode, you get it on Sunday evening if you're an IFS subscriber, and if you're not, I don't know why you're not. I come to you refreshed, Sam. I've been in Scotland for a week, just got back this afternoon.
I'm well jealous, mate.
I've had, honest to God, I've had a fucking fantastic time. Me and the kids, and my parents joined us for 5 days as well. It was a lovely family occasion.
Lovely.
And it was just sweltering hot, like 26 degrees every day. I know it's been a bit hotter down south, I think, but I think 26 is like your optimum temperature.
I mean, it would have been all right if I'd been in a lovely Scottish wilderness.
Yeah.
But in a city, it was fucking horrible, to be honest.
City heat.
I mean, it's hardly the fucking city, it's France, but... You know, you just want to be in open space. I had to self-isolate through the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You've done 10 days isolation?
10 days. I felt like Martin Sheen in fucking in the beginning of Apocalypse Now. When he just fucking wakes up and he's gone bananas. That's how, just sort of like stir crazy, locked inside a house in sweltering heat. It was horrible.
Hell yeah.
But,
I'm looking
on Instagram and you look like you're basically in Valhalla.
Oh man, it was so good. I mean, I think I mentioned it before I went away. It was Pitlochry where we stayed, which is about just under an hour and a half north of Edinburgh. And I hadn't really researched the place before I booked it. I thought it would be a good base for maybe going back down to Edinburgh for a bit, which we did. We went to the zoo, more of which later, or going up into the Highlands. I thought it would be a nice sort of halfway point. But then I did a bit of research and Pitlochry is fucking brilliant. It's got this man-made lock, which you can take boats out on, rowing boats, pedalos, whatever. We did that. There's loads of woodland walks you can go on, different levels of expertise and fitness. There's, I know this is not for you, but there's golf, there's foot golf, there's mini
I love
golf,
foot golf,
and there's proper bell end golf, you know, 18 holes, mostly for wankers. There's that. What else did we do? Fucking hell. It was just so much to fill your time in.
They've got a great tourism website. Welcome to Pitlochry, Four Seasons, More Reasons, which is fucking crap. No wonder you booked. I'd book
like
on the basis of that fucking line alone.
Yeah. There was outdoor theatre going on, which we didn't even get to do. Could have gone to see Wind in the Willows, outdoor theatre style.
Fucking, you that's know. Worthy of a deep dive because of Mr. Toad's fucking antics.
That might have
given you a little bit of a... Might have sparked some ideas there, mate.
Plus as well, as I think I might have mentioned before, my daughter's a vegan. And it's quite hard to go on holiday if you're a vegan and find places to eat out and all that kind of thing. When I did my Pitlochry research, Pitlochry's only got Scotland's only 100% vegan hotel.
Oh my God.
With dining facilities. Everything in it is vegan. There are no meat-related products or dairy products in the hotel at all. So, you know, I just thought this was just destined to be a classic holiday, and it was so good. 26 degrees every day in a cottage with a lovely garden facing the sun and a garage that had a pool table and a table tennis table in it,
so there's no chance of getting bored in the evenings either.
Exactly that.
Plus, I remember you had that place booked in Portugal, which unfortunately you didn't go to, and that had a game room as well.
I thought that is
classic Dawson logistics. If you're going away, you're looking on Airbnb, there is a filter, isn't there, where you can tick a box for games rooms.
There is.
And games rooms, especially if you're going with kids, they're just fucking... I wouldn't say they're essential, that's stupid, but it's such a good idea to have something that.
It takes so much of the weight off. And we had a family table tennis tournament.
Lovely.
Of which I was the winner.
Of course.
So,
I fucking smashed them. I ground them into the fucking ground.
Yeah, I played my dad in the group stage, and there was 49 years of pent up aggression came out from each side.
I remember there was a legend. There was one. I mean, those things live in the memory. We did one on a holiday in France once. We were on holiday with, like, my dad took me and my brothers. Although weirdly, one of my brothers, QPR's legend Casper Delaney, didn't get invited, and no one's ever known why. And it was such a legendary holiday, largely because of the legendary table tennis tournament that took place there, that it's really awkward because we're reminded of it every time it comes up. Oh, I remember that year when we were in France with the table tennis. And he's going, well, why would I remember? I wasn't there. And no one can explain why he wasn't. Hell. But anyway, the Italians were there as well. So we went on a joint holiday with me and my brothers and the Italian lot. And we had a fucking massive tournament. And the bedroom that I was in was above. They'd converted a garage into a table tennis room. And the bedroom that I was in with my cousin, we had a trap door. Yeah. And if you lifted the trap door, there was a ladder that went directly into the fucking table tennis, right? So when it was, like, there was loads of rounds, right? There was, like, I can't remember how many people were on the holiday, but there was a lot of games. I think there was group stages followed by round two, round three. And when it was our chance to play in the qualifiers, rather than just walk into the room, we fucking opened the trap door and played blared out loud sort of opera music as we descended the ladder to intimidate the opposition.
Entrance music, yeah.
Yeah, we had entrance music as we came out of the ceiling. It was fucking superb. Music. But I was very bad. I'm a terribly defensive table tennis player. I just literally, my aim is only to return the ball. I think as long as I keep returning. And Pete, I remember someone saying to me, like, on that holiday, an uncle saying, your system is to bore the opposition to death, isn't it? And I'm like, it's just, I don't know how to play offensive shots. And still to this day, we've got a table tennis table out in the garden. I'm still the same now. It's boring playing me. But anyway, the reason I bring it up is it was my dad and my uncle were in the final. It always ends up being, it's supposed to be fun for the kids. It always ends up being the two, like, alphas who basically play each other really seriously in the final.
Rutting stags with ping pong balls.
Yeah, I remember having to, like, fight a tear back when it wasn't really my uncle, it was my aunt, my Italian auntie's boyfriend, but I thought of him as an uncle, and he Graham from Morecambe Bay, and he beat my dad in the final, and I remember getting a bit like, come on, Dad! Like, really, almost tearful, because he was losing. You get like that, but then if you play your own dad, you want to crush him. But you don't want to see your dad lose to someone else, do you?
Well, I ended up playing my son in the final.
It was you and your dad in the final.
No, I was in the group stage. I ended up playing my son in the final and I beat him. And his head went, basically. He was so pent up for it that his head went when he started to lose. He couldn't focus and he couldn't get back into it. And I was trying to coach him, but it wasn't going down well.
There's all that stuff from when you hacked in with that career-ending challenge at the stadium. And like, there's a lot of stuff, like, unspoken between you both that would have come out in that environment. And you had the experience to cope, and he didn't. So you were like Chiellini. You were like Chiellini, and he was like Saka.
Yeah,
in the Euros final. It was that sort of vibe.
Decades of experience came to the fore. So, so now we're looking to get a table tennis table and find somewhere to put it.
Oh, yeah. So, a new house, stick it in the new garden, mate.
Well, find a space for it, hopefully,
cover it with a taupe in the in the winter months.
Yeah, just get rid of some furniture or something and have it indoors.
Do you have much taupe, tarpaulin or anything like that, mate? Or
I haven't got any, but I can get some.
I've got a couple of bits.
Screw fix do it.
When I use them, I've got one that's camo. I've got a camouflage tarpaulin. One of the best things I own.
Could you also get netting to go over the top of it with leaves, with plastic leaves in among it, to make it look full
on? So I can sleep in the garden covered in the tarpaulin and netting splayed out on my front.
Can your best friend Chris Ryan not get you a discount on some army tarpaulin with netting and leaves?
Chris Ryan, have I ever told you about the amount of wood he chops and transports?
I don't think you have, no.
I mean,
please,
I hope I'm not being indiscreet, but, like, I should
mention
that
You're looking around, Sam, as if he's in the room.
Yeah, he probably has got me bugged. Sam, I've been listening to you recording that daft podcast you do, and I wasn't happy with some of the things you said about my wood, because that is actually personal. I don't need some of my enemies knowing about that.
Intel.
He actually has got a new book out, which he's asked me to mention, and I'm going to.
Okay.
But anyway, before I do so, it's called Manhunter. It's really good. It's about ex-special service, special forces guy, and it's a novel. He does novels, as you know.
Oh, right.
In fact, most of his books are novels, but they're all based on his own experiences.
Yeah.
So it's a way he can write about stuff that he's probably not allowed to under the Official Secrets Act, yeah. I reckon.
Yeah.
But he can fictionalise it and get away with
good.
It. Anyway, it's really good. Go out and buy it. But no, we do that podcast with Chris Ryan, Life or Death, and when the producer calls him, or if I call him, very often, he's got a place. I don't want to give too much away, but he's got a place in the UK and he's got a place on the continent, let's say. And when you speak to him, he's almost always like, I don't know if you've ever read American Psycho, but one of the running things in American Psycho is that Patrick Bateman is always like, when someone asks him if he can do something, his excuse is always, no, I've got to return some videotapes, because it's the 80s, so that seemed like a hip thing to be doing. Chris Ryan's version of that is, no, I'm chopping some wood. And he'll tell you the amount. He goes, I have to spend the entire day. I've got to be up at 6 and I'll be out in my garden chopping wood until like 8 in the evening. And you go, oh, okay. So what about the next day then? No, I can't, because then I've got to transport the wood over to France.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. So he chops up loads of wood and then he sticks it all in his motor and drives it across Europe.
I was going to
and
say,
I don't know what he does with it there. And then I think he chops wood there and brings some back to England again.
Does he chop it in the UK and then export it to France, but it's personal use?
Yeah.
Is there a personal allowance for wood when you're going abroad?
He's not selling wood.
It's for personal use. Is there an allowance in the same way that you bring fags back from Spain? Is there a personal allowance for chopped wood?
Attends, monsieur. C'est combien wood? look, I've got the paperwork. I've got a license to transfer this amount of wood weekly. That's why I go back. I'd love to do it all. Hire a big van and do it all in one go. But because of the fucking red tape, which I thought we were getting out of, I've got to do it in separate fucking shuttle runs.
Look, I'm bringing English wood into France and then I'm taking French wood back to England, and that's completely within the rules. It might look ridiculous, but there's a reason for it, and it's completely within the rules. So if you'll just step aside, I'll be on my way.
He's like, that's one of the main reasons it's intimidating to have your best friend being an SAS legend, because, you know, the amount of wood he deals with is way beyond... In any given week, he deals with more wood than I would have to deal with in a period of 10 years.
Do you think that chopping wood might be a metaphor for something else? Or it might just be a metaphor for, like, we've got the just rest philosophy. Do you know what I mean? It might be a metaphor for just, they say chewing the fat for having a conversation with someone.
Chopping wood. It just means grafting.
It just means just getting through the day. Just chopping wood,
mate. Just chopping wood. Life,
Sam. What are you up to tomorrow, Chris? I'm just chopping wood. And you could just be reading a book and just doing a bit of gardening.
Life is chopping wood and transferring wood. That's when it boils down to it. When, you know, and I have been with many men in the last breaths of their life. That many men whose hands I have held as the last bits of them disappear into the ether. And I can tell you, they all say the same thing. Cut all the bullshit. End of the day, life's about chopping wood and moving wood about.
Across the continent, across borders, international
Usually
borders.
Across European borders.
Some of them men, I may have assisted them in their final moments, passing over from, let's say, England to France. You know
sometimes
I mean.
It's the humane thing to do, is chop the wood for them, if you catch me drift. Sometimes they've not asked me, and sometimes they've said something else, and I think I've misheard, but accidentally chopped their wood anyway. But, you know, it all comes out in the wash.
It's all about wood. The thing about wood is, it all burns in the end. So, you know. It all turns into ash in the end. So that's Chris Ryan's new book. chopping
Manhunter.
Wood.
Manhunter.
There's bound to be some wood chopping in it, because I can tell you that man chops so much wood, it's unbelievable.
Was there a reason why we mentioned Chris Ryan? Oh, yeah, because I was going to say if you could get your discount on your tarpaulin. Camouflage tarpaulin.
We got the paddling pool out last week just to cool off in the day, and the kids were like getting in it, and I was really struggling both physically and mentally last week, because I'm not joking, the heat, when it goes over a certain temperature, I don't react well. I'm not cut out for
it.
Do you
burn up? Do you?
I'm pale skinned, I'm bald, which doesn't help, and the sun really, like, it drives me a bit balmy. And I was like in my room, I didn't feel myself, I was starting to get, I don't know if it was miserable, but I didn't feel mentally healthy, right?
But even before the sun kicks in and during the day, I mean, you rely on your runs, don't you, to get out and first thing in the morning,
I couldn't do that.
The demons and everything.
I was getting up and I was doing sort of exercise in the morning in the garden, but it's not the fucking same. I mean, you're trying to get a sweat on, but you're doing weird shit like star jumps and running on the spot and all this weird stuff.
Roly-polies.
Roly-polies all over the place. I'm just doing fucking 20 roly-polies, that'll sort me out. But it doesn't. Just doesn't sort you out like a proper run out in nature. Just roly-poly in laps of my small garden. Anyway.
What are you doing backward roly-polies? Can you do them?
Can't do them. Try.
You go. That's half the problem, because that just restricts your output.
My movement, in the end, I was just doing side rolls like you do down a hill, but across the flat garden. But, you know, all movement helps. But anyway, we got the paddling pool out. So at the end of the day, the kids would be like just in it. And then I'd go out at the end of the day like an old boss and just sit on my deck chair and just put my feet in.
Just to get your temperature
just
down.
Just as a little bit of a shadow was creeping across the garden. Because I couldn't even go out in the day. I just had a big fan on. I was lying on my bed with the fan blowing on me. But anyway, at the end of the night, at the end of the day, we would cover it in a tarpaulin, right? The pool, to stop all leaves and shit or whatever blowing into it in the night.
Yeah.
And then one day, I think it was...
Stop hedgehogs from dying in it overnight.
Well, this is what I'm building to. On the Thursday, my daughter goes out, pulls back the tarpaulin, thinking, another lovely day of paddling, pooling about. Nice and relaxing. You know. And she pulls it back, and there's a scream.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
There's a bloody great, a fucking massive frog in there.
Dead.
And it was splayed out on its back, right? So it had gone full length, splayed, right? It was quite a sight. I did take a picture, but I haven't posted it yet. I'll send it to you, Andy, and you can see what you think of it.
I'll assess it and see if it seems they suitable. Said, it feels said, a bit wrong.
So
it's not a movie, isn't it?
My wife nearly said my mum, weird. And my daughter said, you've got to get rid of that frog, right? So they were freaking out. So I went into the garden and I thought, how am I going to dispose of it? And I found a rake. Behind the shed, there was a big old rake. I never fucking used it, didn't know we had a rake. So I thought, this is perfect. So it was on the end of a long pole.
Have you recently discovered you've got a garden implement that you didn't know you had? Get in touch. Call us now.
Exactly.
Send an email or tweet.
Surprise rake. This is it was a tough week in the weather, but some things were positives, and the surprise rake was definitely the best moment of my week. So I used this rake, and I fucking hooked up this frog, and it was really heavy and as rubbery as you would imagine.
Oh,
and
wow.
But then once I had it on the end of the rake, this long rake, I was sort of walking around in the garden, and I was all disorientated by the sun anyway. I think I had sunstroke, and I didn't know what to do with it. I had it out of the pool, but I thought, what the fuck did I do with this? I'm not putting it in the bin, right?
Yeah.
In fact, we'd been talking about dead animals recently, hadn't we, and how to dispose of them. I think you'd said, oh, yeah, if there's a dead bird in your house, chuck it in the bin. So
put
I thought, should
bin.
I chuck this in the bin? And I thought, no, I don't want to chuck it in the bin in the house because it could rot and decompose in our rubbish. But I don't want to do it out of front because then, like, you might get foxes, they'll smell it and they'll come and attack your
bins
and all
apart.
That. I didn't know what to do. My wife seen me out and about, just basically walked staggering around in circles with a massive rake and a
confused.
Fucking huge dead frog dangling off the end of it, right? And she's going, what are you doing? You've got to get, what are you doing with that frog? Do something with it. And I panicked.
Stop pissing about.
And I went to the back of the garden, right? So obviously...
Yeah.
On one side, I've got neighbours who are really nice, who I'll get on with, right?
Yeah.
On the other side, there's Raggedy Ann, who has been extremely active this week. I'll tell you about that in a second, right? And I thought, well, if I throw it, I wouldn't ever throw it on to the side of the neighbours I like, because that'd be out of order. Raggedy Ann, she's so mad. If there was even a 1% chance she caught me doing it, there would be a nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you'd have to move immediately.
Yeah, it would be, like, so insane, her response.
You'd
to
have to do what that thing that they used to do in the Midwest in America in the 1930s during the Depression, where you just nail a plank across your door and just write the word abandoned on it, and you
just
go.
Yeah, we'd just have to do a midnight flit. But then I suddenly thought, oh, hang on, I'm forgetting about the back, because over the back of my garden, that is the poshies' houses, right?
Oh, right,
and it's quite funny, because my street... is like all these houses are either council or ex-council, you get all sorts down my street, but over the back, the houses back onto me are the ones that overlook the River Thames, and these are like, I'm telling you, these are £4 million houses, right, that loom over us, and they're like really like, their gardens are immense, so the back of their garden where their fence peers into ours, it's miles away from their back door, fucking miles away, right, but Len's always kicking a ball. And he kicks it really hard against the fence. And one time at the posh woman, they would never communicate with us because they're like, oh, they're ghastly people. And she really timidly put her face over the fence and said to Lynn, would you mind not kicking the ball at the fence? Right. So I thought, they're a bit timid. And it was really bad. But I thought, frankly, they're the neighbours I'm least scared of. Plus, they might never see this frog. So I fucking got it. Fucking lobbed it over the back into the garden. I don't know where it landed. I think it might have landed on their shed roof. But you can't miss it. This isn't one of those little matchbox-sized frogs. This was a big fucking frog.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I'd done it, I thought, fuck, this could have repercussions. I mean, I haven't had repercussions yet. And I also thought, class war. So I sort of thought a little bit, you know, it was the Tories who got us into this mess. I bet they vote Tory. I can't be sure, but looking at the house, you sort of think, and I think, fuck it, have the frog, you know.
Mm.
That's the least. You should be fucking grateful that me and Len aren't over the back fence and occupying your fucking home and telling you all property is theft. So getting a frog lobbed
there
over with a giant rake is the least of your worries.
There you go. We've got Brexit. You're stuck in the UK. You can't afford to travel to France to eat your frog's legs that you crave so much. So
or to
you
transport
go.
Your wood.
There you go. There's some frog's legs for you, free of charge.
Fucking frog cunts.
Fucking get them on the barbecue, you cunts.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
we had some frog activity as well when we were down our woodland walk in Pitlochry. There were these tiny little frogs that were hopping about on the woodland path. And I don't know if they're land frogs or what, because they were really far away from any kind of water. We were just about 20 metres away from the lock. But they were just tiny and just hopping about.
Yeah.
And they were beautiful. They were beautiful. It was part of the whole beautiful vibe of the last week. So they were tiny frogs. They were very much alive.
What other nature did you see in the woods? Did you see squirrels and stuff like that?
Didn't see a single fucking squirrel. No.
Fucking hell, that's disappointing.
There was a pheasant hanging about near the cottage where we were staying at one point. That was probably about it. Didn't see any cats at all. Pitlochry seems to be a cat-free town. Didn't see any cats.
Excuse
Lots of people with dogs.
Excuse me. Hey, how can I help? Yes, I was just wondering, where are all the cats?
Oh!
What did you say? Just wondering, we haven't seen any cats and we're cat fans. There are no cats around here. And I advise you to not go poking around as to why.
Move on.
Very well. I'm sorry I asked. So you should be, laddie. If you know anything about these parts, you'd know not to go around asking about cats.
There was a nice sort of veiled kind of underlying anti-English sentiment as well, now and again, which is good. Mm. I went into the local petrol station to buy some bottles of beer for one evening, and the fella behind the counter, I bought Asahi, Kronenbourg, and what was the other one? I think it was Heineken. Put them on the counter, the fella goes, three English beers.
Yeah.
What? He says, all brewed under licence in England.
Oh. Mate, like, you're in Scotland, you can get a little taste of what it's like for me if I'm outside of London, where everyone is can't wait to present anything you do as really trumped up and poncy.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you're outside the M25, you walk in somewhere, you go, can I have a cup of tea? And they're like this, oh, I can, you can tell he's from London. Can I have a cup of tea? I suppose you want fucking milk in it too, don't you, you flash cunt? Like, I just want a cup of tea. I'm not trying to lord it up over anyone.
I actually wanted a double espresso, but I thought I'd keep it simple and ask for tea instead.
I know. And you're still bullying me anyway. That's what it's like. But here's a question for our Scottish listeners. Do you get what percent? I'm assuming that, you know, obviously hate the English, fine, but how much less do you hate Northern English people? What I'm saying is, do you cut a Northerner more of a break? Like Andy, if he walks in with a Sunderland accent, is he going to get slightly like better treatment than if I walk in with a London accent, or if someone walks in with a sort of posh home counties accent?
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, one of my mates
is there a difference, or is English English? That's what I'm asking.
One of my mates studied at Edinburgh University, I'm going back 25 years or so now, and he said that he felt as though northeastern people got a fairer crack of the whip from the Scots than other English people.
That's what I would imagine.
Further north you go, the more kind of sympathy you get.
I think to a large extent, when people think of like English cunts, I like to think that the main people they're thinking of are people who live in sort of Surrey or Berkshire.
The Shires, and, or behind your house.
And sort of vote conservative and do you know what I mean? And just don't really listen to music. Do you know what I mean? Basically, that guy that Mark Williams played in the Fast Show, where he's always got the cafetiere and he's going, which was nice. That's it.
Yeah. That's the English.
I might be wrong.
Was there no feedback on the frog thing then, as yet?
Not yet. But I'll quickly tell you what Raggedy Ann's been up to this week, because actually there might have to be a fucking reckoning here, because it's just Summer gets really crazy because she hates it when people... She hates, and this is no exaggeration, right? This is genuinely true. She's such a rat bag that she generally hates the sound of children's laughter, right?
Oh, no.
So
she's
if my
like
kids are in the
Roald
garden...
Dahl book.
I mean, she's literally like something from Roald Dahl. So as soon as Summer comes and we're out in the garden and we're playing fucking swing ball or whatever it is, right, for years, and I've probably talked about this before, what she immediately does is she sticks a radio or some stereo speakers pointing out into the garden, and she blares out music full blast, almost as an audio attack to drown us out and discourage us from being. Because as soon as we then go back inside the house, which sometimes you just have to because it's so aggressive, you cannot be out there, she turns it off again. And then you go back outside and she turns it back on. So it's this mad war. So you can only really have fun in the garden if she's out, right?
Can I ask what kind of music it is?
Well, it is sometimes quite good. Like, her favourite band has become well established over the years by us is Thin Lizzy. So she loves to play Thin Lizzy full blast. And I'm like, well, it could be worse. Do you know what I mean? And, yeah, it's always like whiskey in the jar at full blast to, like, get you.
It's, and then one, it's I mean, like when Colonel Noriega was holed up in the in the embassy, wasn't it? And they played
and they tried
the Clash
to blast
over and
him
over
out
again.
With nowhere to run, didn't they?
Yeah.
Really, it's quite horrible and obviously extremely mad. Last week it got really mad. So, as I say, I wasn't out in the garden much, so I didn't experience it personally. But, because I was hiding in my bedroom pretty much all week, but in the afternoons, my wife and both my kids would be out in the garden, you know, like playing table tennis or in the paddling pool, whatever. And you know what she started doing? This happened every day as soon as they'd been out there for more than 5 minutes. Not making a racket, by the way, just talking at a normal volume, right? Mm. And our fences are high. Do you know what I mean? When I grew up at my mum's house, the fences were like waist high. So if you were in the back garden, you saw every other person in their back garden.
Chat
so
over
zero
the fence
privacy.
And all that sort of thing. Yeah.
So it's like there's plenty of privacy. It's not like we're... You know what she did? This is really super mad and not an exaggeration. She got her telly. Mm. She put it out into the fucking middle of the garden, right? And she started playing on it. And I don't know whether it was a videotape or she'd got it off fucking Sky or whatever. But she somehow made it play the theme tune to Neighbours over and over and
over
again at full blast with the TV in the garden. So she's going, Neighbours, everybody needs good neighbours. Like, they were literally, you know, my daughter's 13, my son's 9. And they're out there in the garden, they're just like somebody just talking at a normal volume, right? And she does that until they go back in the house. The moment they go back in the house, she switches it off.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, that is a massive escalation, isn't it?
That's huge. That needs to be confronted, I think.
Well, I said, like, so my wife's fuming about it, right? And I said, the thing is, she's mentally ill. I said, and, like, if I write, she wants a reaction. Mm. So it's really hard to know what to do, because if I do respond, even if I'm replying, could you please turn that down a bit, because it's really disturbing our fun, she's got the reaction she is seeking. Because we haven't engaged with her in fucking years. She's even got a sign on her door saying, for people delivering things, do not give them to number 76, right? So we can see that, right? So, and if someone knocks on her door with a package, she goes, no, I don't take packages for them. There is no incident at all that we can trace this back to, right? It's just...
This is Channel 5 nightmare neighbours from next door stuff.
Yeah, it's so mad. All we know that makes it feel slightly better is we actually know the family who lived in this house before us, because their kid goes to the same school. And she was even worse with them. Like, they had... Well, I think they rose to it more, and so they'd have proper stand-up fucking screaming matches on the doorstep.
Yeah.
And I've just always tried to think, well, I've tried to have a little bit of pity in my heart for her, because, you know, this is not normal behaviour. This is someone who's got some problems. Yeah, it's like, so I do feel actually some sympathy. And she lives with her son, who seems like a nice kid. So I feel sympathy for it all. But the thing is, it can't go on. Do you know what I mean? It can't go on, because it's like the moment you set foot in your garden on a sunny day, I'm going to fucking assault you with as much noise as possible until you go back in your house. And like on Wednesday... My daughter's having friends around for a birthday celebration, like a little garden thing where, you know, they're just having drinks and snacks or whatever in the garden. It'll only go on from about 6 till about 9. But if she does it then, I'll have to, because I can't have her ruining my daughter's birthday, can I? I'm going to have to fucking... I mean, the old me, I'd have just, like, jumped over the fucking fence with the Terminator and smashed the telly in.
Yeah.
Because I would have thought, oh, that'll really end it once and for all, because that'll... just freak her out.
Down a marker.
But it wouldn't. It wouldn't. There's nothing I could do that would put down a marker. So the only hope I've got is to kill her with kindness.
Or ignorance. Just ignore her. I don't know. If only there was a life logistics service you could subscribe to and find out the best thing to do in this situation.
The thing is, I've ignored her for years, but now it's escalated. And if it's my daughter's birthday little get-together that she's been looking forward to, it'll be such a shame if she does that. But she'll do it. She won't make any difference with it. It's a nice celebration. She'll do it. I mean, remember, this is a woman who cut the head off my son's fucking sunflower.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll never forget that. Yeah, that shows what she's capable of. Well, I mean, let us know on Friday's episode if you're still alive. Bring us up to date with what happens. I wish you the very best of luck with that, Sam. We didn't get round to some monkey biographies from Edinburgh Zoo or some thoughts on Zippy that you had. Perhaps we can save them for later in the week.
Maybe Friday. That's Friday's episode. Well,
Friday
covered.
Could be a bumper episode. There could be all sorts going on in Friday's episode. But that's it from this one. Thanks for listening. Everybody does need good neighbours, apart from the ones that are cunts.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.